Hello and welcome to the Super Footy Podcast. We're in the middle of the bye rounds and there's been some big, big changes. Sam Edmund, not here. Hutto, not here. And they've reeled in the rookie, Gilbert Carter. That's me. I'm hosting. I can't believe I'm hosting the first Super Footy Podcast of my life. I'm joined by Ando and Mick. Hello, boys, and what a great weekend it's been.
Gilb, to me, this is like when Adam Gilchrist took over from Ian Healy.
And seamless.
Never looked back.
In fact, I'm prepared to say maybe slightly better on Hutto. What I've seen, it's a very, an opening stanza was very impressive.
Certainly a lot cheaper,
yeah,
Ando.
In fact, well, that's the main thing, isn't it?
Well, that's without a doubt. Well, apologies in advance if I start mentioning anything to do with Supercoach. There will be a, I'm sure that I'll muck that up at some point. But boys, Saturday night, an absolute belter of a game. I must admit, if I had my time again, Mick, I wrote off the Saints. I thought Geelong was going to come out and go bang 150 points, Dangerfield, captain in Supercoach. It was all going to happen. And it all came undone.
Well, the round needed that game because the rest of it was a bit of a snore fest, starting about 10 days ago on the Thursday and then finishing in Tassie. But it was a cracker of a game. And I think it's, well, there's two stories to come of it, as you say. St Kilda, who are emerging slowly, but a bit of a worry about Geelong. And I reckon there's a, I think they've unlocked, they've shown that's the way to beat Geelong. A manic play on at all costs. Collingwood did it, Carlton did it. And now St Kilda have done it.
Leg speed can be a problem for the Cats, for sure. And Eddie had a ground where you can really highlight a lack of leg speed. And I saw it in the first quarter when Jimmy Bartell, who's been a really solid player for Geelong this year, was chasing a St Kilda player and just couldn't get near him. And I thought then, maybe Jimmy's a player. You've got to protect your great players at times. And he wants to play every week. But I think for Jimmy now, it's got to be horses for courses. And I don't think that was the game where you're necessarily playing. But they would have been thinking you've got the bye next week. So you'll get the rest then. But look, Geelong...
So you worried then if they can't, in fast games, they're not going to be able to go all the way?
Finals are very different. Often more one-on-one.
Yep.
So it's a different type of football.
Yep.
And it's more speed of movement by mind and hand, which Geelong's managed to do previously. I think they know how to do that, Mick, but St Kilda can get any team. And that's we saw St Kilda do it a few weeks ago to Collingwood. At the same venue, and I reckon Melbourne at the same venue. Their record there now is from their last six games at Etihad, they've won five, which is all this year, and they lost to North Melbourne by 7 points. Not bad form.
And Hawthorn down in Tassie. That's a sensational brand of footy they play when it works.
But it's suited to Etihad.
Suited to Etihad, because as you said, they went to West Coast and got annihilated in Adelaide. They've got a big interstate game this week, but you'd have to say that their list build is working. Down at the Saints.
I don't know about you boys, but Paddy McCartan, I mean, obviously, you know, he comes with big raps.
He's coming.
He's really looking comfortable, isn't he? I mean, hasn't played that many games, but kicked an early goal, just looked pretty calm about it. And that forward line, life after Riewoldt's looking pretty bright.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Membry and Bruce with McCartan, they're three blokes you can build it around for the next 8-10 years. And their list was so young the other night. You take out Montagna, obviously Riewoldt, and Sam Gilbert, then the rest of them are 26 and under. And there's so many kids in that side. I love what they're doing, St Kilda. And you're going to get those hiccups like the thrashings you mentioned before, Mick. That just happens with young developing sides. Next year they'll lessen those, hopefully, and potentially challenge for the finals.
And have Carlisle at centre-half back, crucial player. So I reckon they'll play finals next year.
They lack a key, tall key defender, don't they?
Yep.
And Goddard will hopefully get back at some stage during the year.
So, Mick, Geelong with a golden opportunity to go on top of the ladder.
Guess who's on top.
Great percentage. That's right. Guess who is on top. We'll get to them, though. But only, and St Kilda, you know, emerging young team. Yes, they might be scarred the fans a little bit by a few big losses. But 28,000 people turned up to Etihad Stadium for a game that, you know, if I was a Saints fan, I'd probably want to go and see how we match up.
Well, that's the Geelong people, isn't it, Ando? Because 2 weeks before St Kilda Carlton, they got 50,000. And St Kilda, it was a predominant St Kilda crowd. And
The other night. Yeah. And Fennec, you felt like you were part of about 5%. The crowd was screaming. And I reckon in the end, it helped St Kilda get over the line.
Mm.
I think Geelong supporters should be embarrassed that they don't make the trip up the highway.
Well, they've been spoiled, Ando. They've had a good decade.
Yeah, and also,
when it's cold,
it's on telly.
Watch it on telly.
Yeah.
The one for me was the Collingwood crowd. I know there was a few excuses, but the lowest crowd in 76 years is still the lowest crowd.
I reckon they're good judges.
Since World War II.
I actually turned the game off at half time.
So did I.
And I somehow
and I never do
the
that.
First quarter of Freo. That was extraordinary.
Toxic.
Yeah. Wasn't that horrible to watch?
Yep.
Yeah. They've got problems, Freo.
I mean, that would have been a game. That, like, there must be. There's something going on with Collingwood fans, especially boys, because are they getting a bit disillusioned?
They're disengaged.
Disengaged, because that would have been a game, I reckon. If you were a Collingwood fan, you haven't got a lot of wins on the board. You've had 5 wins this year, so not a lot of things to laugh about. Frio, obviously, we know how they started, coming off a three game winning streak. That would have been a game that if I was a Collingwood fan come round 8, I would have looked ahead and said, oh, you know what, Frio, we might be able to get a win and I might go.
But their expectation would have been finals. Mm. They've had a downward spiral, obviously, in the last few years, which is well documented. This year, the hope was that. I mean, injuries have prevented them.
No doubt.
We don't know where they would have ended up. Hopefully we'll find that out next year and Nathan Buckley will get a fair go at it when he's got his full list. I suspect with their full list, they're a final 8 side. Because their midfield is so strong.
Mm.
I think they're probably a tall defender short, and I think they're a tall forward short. Because I'm not sold yet on Mason Cox, as promising as he is.
No.
Travis
no.
Clark, I don't think, has a big part to play in the history, in the football for the rest of his
any
career.
Not another club. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Other night. And Darcy Moore is a really good, young, promising player, but he needs other players around him. So yeah. I think they're two key position players.
There were a lot of factors, though. It was cold, the car park was closed, the trains weren't working. Having said that,
playing Freo.
Most Collingwood people I know are off Buckley.
Yep.
And that's just speaking to them around and about. They think that he's run his race. Now, as you say, I think if they get the injuries, he can turn it around. But
yeah, it's an amazing after what's Nathan Buckley took over in 12, 13, 14, 15. So his fifth year. And I still honestly don't know whether he's a good or bad coach.
Mm.
I suspect they can still be quite good under him. But you don't know. And footy can take that long.
And on that, you wrote a spectacular piece on the weekend, Ando, about the president who, of course, is jetted out to, where's he gone? Mediterranean somewhere?
He's on Lindsay Fox's boat. Big boat. He's 294 of his closest friends.
294.
Ed'll be there. Larger than life too, Ed.
And what did you learn? Do you think he'll stick around the Prez next year?
Speaking to two close friends of his, before he publicly declared that he was thinking of walking away from it all, they had had conversations with him where he had thrown that up. Maybe you throw it up to try and glean the feeling. Oh, Ed, you can't do that.
Yeah.
The world needs you. but as I pointed out in that article, Mick, he does a lot of good stuff.
Mm.
And hopefully he won't be lost from that area. But what's the one thing he wouldn't want to let go, do you think?
Probably that. But he'll have to let go of other things in his life. Like getting up at 4:30 in the morning to do that show. Then he's on TV that night. He's on every board. He's got more boards than a surfer. I just think he'll go to Europe, and I reckon he'll decide to get off a few of those things.
Yeah. Well, that's what brings him undone, isn't it? So those early morning radio programs that...
Seems to be where
where he makes a little gas. Maybe he just needs to sleep a bit longer and he might be better off if he wakes up at 8 o'clock. Boys, talking about finals and finals credentials, I guess. Thursday night, we were all watching this game. Adelaide, North Melbourne. I think we expected a bit more from North Melbourne.
Well,
I probably did. They showed very little. Adelaide, on the other hand, showed plenty and missed. That could have been a monster game.
But three-quarter time, there was a kick in it.
Yeah, I mean, North was leading at half-time as well. But, you know, Adelaide could have easily won that game by a long way. Does it hurt North's chances, you think?
Yeah, but because top four no longer is a lock. I mean, you win your first 9 straight and you think that, well, we're probably going to finish top four. And right now, with the run home, Gillian, you know it better than I do, but it ain't great. I don't think the Kangaroos will make the top four. And I know you've reached prelim finals the last 2 years from outside the four, but you can't win a premiership. And no one's going to win a premiership. No one's going to beat Hawthorn or Sydney or one of those sides if they've had a week's break come the grand final. So, yeah, I think it hurts North and North.
Well, you love them, Gil. What do you think's happening at North?
Oh, look, I think they're missing a few players. I think they're probably sorely missing Sean Higgins.
Yeah.
Would be one out that's been out for a while.
Daniel Wells has been in and out the last month.
He has. When he's played, he's been really good. But Higgins provided a bit of goal-kicking power, helping out those forwards.
Goldstein hasn't come back yet to the formula.
He hasn't quite been the same.
Your tag is out.
The tag is out.
Yeah, big loss.
Which was working quite well for him last year.
Probably played on Rory Sloane, I guess.
Jared Waite's been, obviously was carrying this hip problem. Was he the first
he
half
got
of the
that
year,
knocking
was great.
Nick Vlostone out in Tasmania, I heard. Actually, it was how he got that injury. Do you think they can get it back, North?
I think they can get it back. I, I'm not convinced they're not totally out of the race.
The premiership.
And this
race.
Might be my debut. Is it just me, boys?
Yeah, we'll go with it.
I'm not right on
this. You can
this.
Throw it in any time
I'm
you like.
I'm just going to throw it in anywhere. Yep. But I'm looking at one team. They're fourth on the ladder. And I'm not trying to deflect from North Melbourne. But GWS, boys, why can't they finish? Have you looked at their run home? I don't know.
They'll finish top four.
Why can't they finish on top end?
Have said the two sides with the best draws, GWS and Geelong. But with Geelong, they lose to Collingwood, Carlton, St Kilda. That means tough. Well, Geelong would be better off playing the sides in the eight again because that's who they beat. GWS, I think, absolute shoo-ins for the top four. Injuries.
Top two.
They keep covering injuries so well.
Yep.
They got so
that's because they got 45 Jets on their list. You know,
and
they,
more to come.
And five top 30 draft picks at the end of this year. If they finish in the top two, they guaranteed a home finals at that little ground of theirs, Spotless, whatever it's called.
Yes.
That just about pencil them in for a grand final, if that's the case, because they're hard to beat there.
Well, that's no doubt, and they come back after the bye, so they've got the rest this week, recharge the batteries. In previous years, this is the time of year where they've had injuries. Phil Davis, I think, had an ankle or a calf, so that might hurt him.
Yeah,
but he
4 weeks,
should be right.
They reckon.
There you go. Yep.
What would be the story of the year? Steve Johnson. Well, so 2007, he cops a 7-week suspension, comes back and is named Norm Smith medalist. In the last year, he gets sacked by the Cats. Goes to another club, potentially plays it. Imagine if he plays
well,
at a
I want to ask you about
GWS.
That. Do you feel any angst when you watch Stevie J knowing he could be at Geelong?
Oh, you have to feel a bit of it.
Do they get the right call?
Yeah, I trust.
Will you say that when he wins a Norm Smith, another Norm Smith?
If they beat Geelong by a kick, possibly not enough time. No, I trust Stephen Wells as the list manager to make the right calls. That's the same with
sometimes
Paul Chapman,
you get it
and
wrong,
Joel
too.
Corey and James Kelly. Could James Kelly still play at Geelong?
Not like Stevie J can.
No, he's a different type of player. Yeah. But look, revisit it at the end of the year. Stevie's got to get through the year first. That sounds funny now because we're half two-thirds of the way through.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Older bodies, it can...
Leon Cameron said, we are surprised at how much we've got out of him. It's exceeded our expectations.
He's a freakish athlete because he's never looked like a runner. Mm. He turned up at Geelong and he walked like a duck.
He's got a gait, doesn't he?
And yet they'd go and do a 2K and he'd be up there with the top six or seven. So he's got a massive tank, Stephen Johnson, and he's a ripper, isn't he?
So it's not just you, Gil. Is it just me? I'll go, is it just me? Is it just me or is Thursday night football rotten?
I'm not with you on that. I don't mind Thursday night football. I'd rather Thursday night footy than Monday night football.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
By a long way. Yep. And I think having six, if it's six Thursday nights a year, Gil, would you be cool with that?
Well, I think a lot has to do with fixturing. And I know it's very difficult because you would have thought that Adelaide-North Melbourne, Adelaide Oval would have been a good game.
38,000 is not a great crowd.
No, when they're normally getting 50,000. The rain didn't help.
The rain didn't. But the problem with this week is after the Thursday night game, there are crap games after that.
West Coast this Thursday, I mean, that's shocking fixture. But I'm not talking about it in terms of crowds and whether people watch it. I like to compartmentalise our footy weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And, there's a lot of people at home who would rather you weren't watching the footy on a Thursday night.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Especially when the voice is on or something like that. You don't want to have a fight about it. I just think it's restricted to the weekends. It's worked for 126 years.
You know what would be good, though, if they had Richmond games every Thursday night, because all the Richmond fans would have to come to work on Friday and have the socks on. They'd be down and out.
Well, they won on the weekend, actually.
Yeah, most of the time it was on Saturday only. Then it became Sunday.
Yep.
And then it became Friday nights.
Yep.
Well, you just expand. That's how life works.
I also think we lose track of the storylines a bit. Like, it's a week ago.
It seems a long time ago, the Thursday night game, doesn't it? That's because you two drink too much on Thursday night at Robbo's place.
Well, it may or may not have happened. speaking of another team, boys, Richmond. I know this is a
massive,
team that's
huge win. Never been
close
more excited.
To your heart. Now we could have seen this happening. We knew that Richmond had a couple of easy games. We're always going to win those two games. They now find themselves 6-7, currently 11th on the ladder, with a whole bunch of teams on 24 points. There's still a couple of games out, but is there a little bit of belief at Punt Road?
Of the teams who are outside the eight, you would have most faith in them mounting some sort of challenge, primarily because they did it 2 years ago, Mick?
Yeah, 3 years in
three
a row.
3 years ago. Yeah, so, and that one where you won all the games on end.
Yeah, nine.
Tells me that Richmond can, and I think Richmond have the best six players as a group of any team outside the eight. Is that a fair call?
Yeah.
We saw Riewoldt on Saturday. Justin Martin was probably in the best 10 in the game.
Yep.
Alex Rance is arguably the best defender in the game. lead our sits pretty comfortably. So does Cochin. I said six. Who's the other one?
Well, Edwards is their sixth best player.
He's their sixth best player, though. Is he really?
Yeah.
Rated elite for a small
player. Bash's injured, but I would have thought he was ahead of
him.
Well, it starts this week, boys.
Minaju, maybe.
Well, he got 130 Supercoach points for those who kept him in the sideline. He'll be all right, actually. There's a bit of the Isaac Smiths about him when he feels
out. There's a support that gives so much hope. When you see a kid come in like Minaju this year, and you think, well, he could be, you know, a gun.
Well, I hope so. Dusty, do you reckon he could win the Brownlow, boys? He's definitely got a tank now. He's never had that. His surge running is incredible.
Mm. You've got to win closely. Games, though, don't you? I mean, Gaz
historically, Ando would know that you don't have to win games to win the Brownlow.
It's changed a bit. In the last 5 years, umpires have been far more prepared to give players from losing sides three votes, which is good. One of the things they've got right. They still don't give enough votes to defenders and forwards. It's all about midfielders. But yeah, you can win it. And Dusty...
He got 21 votes last year, Dusty.
Mm, prolific polar.
And has had a far better year this year.
I don't know that he's had a far better year. You keep saying that to me.
He's running out games better.
Yep.
So, you know, you get those little votes at the end of the game.
And you might know, how many Brownlow medalists have there been with tattoos on their necks?
Oh, well, that actually translated says place Brownlow here.
On their necks.
So.
None on their necks.
No.
Kevin Murray was the first Brownlow medalist to win with tattoos. Yeah. I reckon. Who won? Has Acker got? Yeah, Acker's got a tat somewhere. He definitely has.
Yeah, he would have, yeah.
Adam Cooney's got tats.
Yeah.
On Swanee's his lower legs. Swanee's got a couple. they're probably your main ones.
Mate, there isn't a player that doesn't have a tattoo anymore, is there?
No,
the Brisbane blokes would have tattoos of the premierships.
Yeah, actually, that reminds me of a great story where it was Ash McGrath who played in the third of those Brisbane premierships, and they're all out celebrating Mad Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday. And so Ash went and got the premiership tat on his shoulder. And the tattooist thought that he was one of the boys who'd played in all three. So he's got on his back 01, 02, 03. He's coming to the nightclub, showed the boys. And Brownie said, "That's great, mate, but I didn't know you played in the last two."
Oh,
dear. It was that Michael Clark had LB tattooed.
Oh,
he did
LBW. Bingham.
Oh, dear.
And they added
okay.
LBW. You'd never get a tattoo of LB with Lara, would you? You wouldn't be, 100% sure that it was there for the duration.
Well, I had a mate on a cricket trip who got Carpe Diem written on his forearm, and it was spelt wrong.
Did he know what it meant in the first place?
No.
Wasn't a Peninsula boy, was
it? Yeah, it was, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a keeper. I can't remember his name. Shane, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Boys, might have been Shane Brown, actually. Yeah.
Might have.
I don't know if you watched yesterday's game. Ablett Mitchell show. Talk about winding back the clocks and Brownlow medalists. One's a Brownlow medalist. The other one maybe should have won one.
He might win one.
He might still win one. That's
I
exactly
think he
right.
saw yesterday why one's won one and one hasn't. You saw the goal Gary kicked. Could Sam Mitchell kick that goal?
They've both won them, Ando.
Brownlow medals?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. You reckon Sam's going to win one?
No doubt.
Well, he hasn't won it yet.
No,
it's
but
not
he
official.
Has won one.
You're talking about Joe Watson in 2012.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I hope that's not the case. Well, and don't, but with that, no, the AFL doesn't have to follow WADA. They can make their own call on it. They can make whatever call they like.
Well, if they did that, it'd be a laughing stock. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it?
I hope you're right, wrong, Michael. I really do. But
I'm not. Yeah, actually, on that, do you reckon if they did that appeal lost and they had to award the Brownlows, should they give it to Cochin and Mitchell on Brownlow night or do it off Broadway?
It's just something they won't want to highlight it, will they?
No.
So
maybe the week off between round 23 and the first week of finals.
Well, but how unfair
Jared
is it?
Jared Talent style, sort of out in the park somewhere.
If those two deserve their moment in the sun.
Well, that's the thing. Will they make a fanfare of it? Or
but it won't be until after this year's Brownlow. Will
it could be. If that appeal loses next week, for example, then the commission will meet and they'll have to decide. Anyway, we're off topic.
So Gary Ablett, better player than Sam Mitchell by not much, but for me, he runs better with the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of talk about Gary getting old, and you know, this is a lot of the Supercoach rubbish, I guess, that people, his scores were maybe plateauing a bit. But has he ever left?
Not rubbish.
He hasn't
left.
No,
they're feeling from within the club. They were challenging Gary 3-4 weeks ago and worried whether Gary's passion was still there, whether Gary wanted to go and get that ball just as much as he had previously, and whether Gary still had the explosion in his game. You saw the explosion yesterday. You saw the hunger yesterday. So I think Gary's, the thorny crown hasn't been stolen just yet.
Was he in the Judd Ball Hodge draft?
Yes. So Steve Johnson, Lee Montagna, Dane Swan,
Del Santo,
Brian Lake, Sam Mitchell.
Who's going the best? Or Sam Mitchell, was it?
Kelly. James Kelly.
Who's still running on top of the ground of that draft? Or are they
Who's the best player of that ground?
No,
Steve Johnson?
No, who's... Yeah, he probably is.
Well, he'd be up there. Yeah. Montagna's had a good year.
Yeah, he's had a great year.
Ablett, of course.
I think Waite was waiting that draft.
Yeah, he was too.
Yeah.
Pretty good draft.
Yeah, not a bad... Not called the super draft.
Let's hope it's not like that again this year with Gold Coast and GWS having 11 out of the top 30 picks.
No, that's... Yeah,
God help us.
Well, they've got to make the right decisions. I think Gold Coast made a very good decision with Tom Lynch. I think we got a bit of a glimpse into what might be happening in the next four years.
How did he mark Frawley?
Frawley on the goal line. Frawley. That was a beauty.
So you're watching Frawley. He's one of the best one-on-one defenders in the competition. Lynch just made him look like a runt, didn't he? And just sort of powered over him. The ball was centred in. It wasn't even a particularly great kick. But he had to get position. He caught all over him.
Who would you go, Lynch, Hogan or Cameron, if you had to pick Lynch. One of them?
Yeah. Oh, Lynch would have to be above the other two, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Right now,
which is saying something, because those other two are pretty good players.
I'd have Lynch ahead of Hogan.
Has Cameron just gone backwards
plateaued a bit? I mean, he started really strongly, but his last couple...
He was injured.
Was it last year?
He's not as big as Lynch, is he? Lynch is a massive unit. How tall is Lynch? 200 centimetres?
He's a big boy.
Was Cameron 195 or something?
Yeah.
Big boy. Well, that mark on the goal line, that was something else. Pack mark on the goal line, one grab.
They can be good. Conditions. They can be really good next year.
Oh, no doubt.
Suns?
Yeah. Put O'Meara back in and maybe... Well, and David Swallow.
Yep.
If you get those two back, and Colin Jasny hasn't played much footy this year, Saad, Tommy Nichols looks good in the ruck.
Sounds like Presty's leaving.
I think so.
But they'll get another draft pick.
Yep.
So
they
can't lose.
Win-win. Another forward in that game, boys, that caught my eye, and there's a little bit of talk about him. James Sicily got the Rising Star nom last week, kicked three goals again yesterday. Not a big boy like Lynch, but everyone thinks that Wiedering's got it stitched up. You've got Petrarca around. Frio, Sam Collins... going thereabouts. I don't think he's got a nomination yet, though, Sam Collins. But Sicily, is he a bolter of a chance to win the Rising Star? I mean, he could kick three goals on grand final day.
Not for me.
But the Rising Star's announced before then as it's based on the home and away.
But he's a good player. Yeah.
So,
but he's not going to lose his spot.
The mark he took yesterday, the pack mark, he's certainly looking, thinking, hang on, this bloke's got a bit more going than...
Same with O'Brien.
Yeah, O'Brien. O'Brien's...
They just put him down at Box Hill for 3 years... And then they're ready.
Sicily's unusual because he's a light build, not that tall. A bit like Jack Gunston, I guess. Can't run as well as Jack Gunston, but they looked all right yesterday. Dare I say. In fact, is it just me, or has Hawthorn just quietly snuck to the top of the ladder? I spoke with Cameron Ling 2 weeks ago. I said, who wins the premiership? He said, Hawthorn will win the premiership.
He said,
mate, they just know what to do.
Yeah. Well,
it's all in place. Even Segler took a couple of contested marks yesterday up forward. You're thinking David Hale replacement. And everyone says how many injuries they've had. They haven't had injuries. They've had a champion in Roughhead not playing a game, which is massive, and Hodgie's missed most of the season. Other than that, Shields a little bit, Rioli's missed a couple. They haven't had a big injury list.
Just so well coached. That's frightening.
They are. Well, realistically, I mean, the only way to stop Hawthorn, if you were another one of the seven sides in the top eight, the only way to stop Hawthorn would be for them to finish ninth, because you wouldn't be confident playing them anywhere.
Age will get them eventually, though.
You think of Hawthorn, they're on top now. They've won the last three. The one before that, they got beaten in the grand final. They could have easily won. So at the moment, they're sort of 5 years in a row where they're at the top. And then you go back before that.
'08.
They're an
phenomenal in an 18-team comp with compromised drafts.
With a draft,
it is just ridiculous how good Alistair Clarkson is. And
who would scare them in that top eight? Do you think who wouldn't they want to face up against?
I think
preliminary final
teams.
Or grand final.
Who's the fastest team?
Too old.
Is it the Giants?
Giants, maybe. Well, the Giants smashed them this year, didn't they?
Yeah, but surely prelim final Giants Hawthorn. I'd still have my couple of dollars on the Hawks.
Yeah. Maybe
it's
not at spotless.
It's slightly different. You've got in that side now for the Giants, Heath Shaw, premiership player, three grand finals.
Yeah. Where, how was he available?
Well, he's available because Collingwood swapped him.
Yeah, ridiculous.
But that may still, I mean, Taylor Adams will still be a very good player for Collingwood.
Yep.
You got Steve Johnson, four grand finals, best on ground in one of them.
How was he available?
because he was sacked.
What enrichment?
You've got Shane Mumford, premiership player.
How is he available?
Well, he got squeezed out because of Buddy. Yeah.
So they've been shrewd. They've
got experience in that side of what it takes.
Callum Ward, Ryan Griffin.
Yeah.
Joel Padfield.
It's just an outstanding list build.
Now, boys, it wouldn't be a Super Footy podcast if we didn't touch on this. And, of course, we'll know in probably a couple of hours' time from recording. But we need to have a view on Dangerfield, the knee, accidental or otherwise. I think we all expect it. We're all united in expecting him to get off. Insufficient contact, call it what you like. A little bit clumsy, though, because people do usually know how to stand up.
Well, even if he meant it, he'll get the five fine. He got three of them last year, so it's a non-issue. If he gets suspended, then they may as well shut the comp down.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm with Mick.
What happens if Lindsay Thomas does it?
2 weeks.
Maybe three.
There
is a Brownlow rule, isn't there? And that's why they brought it in, the fine system. But Fife's three incidents last year, from memory, were far worse.
Yeah, we had a tripping one as well.
Yeah, and remember Judd on Pavlich?
No. Oh.
He got a Brownlow that year.
Yeah.
So, he'll get off, so guaranteed.
Chucked out. We're united on that front.
Yep.
Well, there you have it, boys.
Beacon rewind, mate.
Beacon. Oh, Gilbert. I forgot about it.
We almost played the perfect game.
Almost played the perfect game. And little edge.
I was just texting Hutto then to say, don't bother turning up for the next year, mate.
You're going to cancel that text.
Have a rest.
Who was it that Gilly smashed at the way? Oh, it was Monty.
Yeah.
For his 54-ball 100. You've got a bit of a... Gilchrist innings going here, Gilbert. Yeah, keep it going.
All right. Well, be kind, rewind, Nick. I think you want to start because I'm still trying to work out what I'm actually going to say.
Well, I'm going to be kind, rewind, Channel 9 for letting Sam Newman go on here and talk that absolute drivel on Thursday night. It was just pathetic. I think the word that Carrie used was Neanderthal, and it's right. It was so obvious that he was going to do it, and it just, that show is cactus. And for Brayshaw, your president, to be sitting there and sort of allow that to happen, he would have known it was going to be said. It was pathetic.
Yeah, it wasn't. Left a sour taste.
You got a view on that, Ando? Or?
I would endorse everything you said. I thought they had a chance to make a stand, make a statement, particularly with Rebecca Madden there, who did her best. Instead, they just slipped back further than
but
where we come
from. They say she did her best. Why didn't she say, no, Sam, that he called those women, those bloggers, excrement.
Yes.
It was second rate. She should have pulled him up.
Mm. Who produces the show? Who looks after Channel 9? Who has the final say and say, this isn't acceptable?
Well,
and we want to know what you're going to say before you go
on
air. Oh, no, Sam won't adhere to that.
And the week Brayshaw had to sit there and say, oh, I agree with some of what you've said, but not all of it.
You know what, Mick? Without Sam, there's no show. Sam's been the star of the footy show since it started in 1994. Yep. The ratings at that show because of one person.
Yeah.
And they're intimidated by him. They're scared to tell him what to do.
No, I think they agreed with what he said, actually.
Probably.
More to the point.
You have to think the market for that type of show is dwindling, I would have.
No.
There's not a lot of humour there anymore either.
I must admit, it was the first time I'd watched it, and I only watched it to see, because I knew he'd say something stupid, and it's not what it was.
Ando, be kind, rewind.
Just the AFL would, if they had a chance, and perhaps they will do this, will they look at the split rounds and decide to do it in a different way? Personally, I'd rather have a week off for everybody in the middle of the season. A week of no football, you can have your AJ Witten, you can have a women's exhibition game, whatever it might be, and then skip that week off before the finals. I think it's possibly the worst idea I've heard in football in a long, long time. And mark my words, Gilbert, when it comes, you'll get to around the end of the home and away season and think, what in the heck? We haven't got a game next weekend.
Yeah.
We're building up for the finals. Anticipation is completely ripped away from me. I just can't believe that's
going to happen. You're right. But the players want two buys next year, so I don't know whether we have two weekends off or how
players
that's going to
the season's too long.
The season is too long. I love one game against every club and into finals, even if it's extended
with
finals.
With TV rights, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
Better product.
Couldn't agree more with it. Yep. Gridiron, that's how they do it.
The week off works well before, like the Super Bowl does it. They have a week off between the final games of the Super Bowl.
Don't they play Pro Bowl in between?
Well, it's a bit more of a build-up, and at least you're looking forward to the one big game, the biggest game of the lot, whereas with our one, round 23, you're basically sitting around twiddling your thumbs.
I'll tell you, it would not work. No, and it was going to be outrageous.
Your club did it with the rest of the 13 players.
Is there anything that club doesn't do that doesn't impact rule changes? Look, my be kind rewind, sliding, ducking, now the rest end of season bye. Be kind rewind, boys, Geelong. You can't have Patrick Dangerfield, Stephen Motlop to a lesser extent, sitting on the bench, watching
yes,
a game
yes.
with, what was it, 90 seconds, 2 minutes to go. You're down by 3 points. You can't have those players sitting on the bench. Surely you just drag whoever the closest. Well, this is not under 10s. Not everyone's around the ball. Someone must be close to you. Drag them off and say, come
hang on. But I'm not meant to come off for another 2 minutes. Mate, we've got to get stuffed that. Dangerfield's got to come on. I don't care when you're meant to come off.
How are you
get
going watching
ground.
That at home, Ando, at the ground? But this is what they deserve, the coaches, because interchange is a joke.
Yep.
It's been hijacked by the coaches, and here it was paying them back. Get rid of the whole thing, I say. Well, go back to the old days, two emergencies.
When Dangerfield needed the break with 5 minutes to go, his break should have been forward pocket.
Yes,
put him up there, lean against the goal post, the ball comes down, sprint out.
Did it cost you the game?
You don't know that, do you? It's all hypotheticals. I mean, I thought St Kilda deserved to win the game.
They
so
did, yeah.
I wasn't bleeding about it.
Well, there you have it.
Good, great. But
have we got there this time? Have I forgotten any other segments, boys?
Just looking through. No.
No, all good. Well, thank you for joining us, boys. My debut, that might be the last time I'm on the Super Footy podcast.
Who knows?
Thanks for joining us, listeners. Keep an eye on everything footy related at superfooty.com.au and, of course, the Herald Sun and Sunday Herald Sun. We'll be back next week, hopefully, with the usual lineup, Hutto and Sammy Edmund as well. One of you, boys. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, enjoy.